Elissa Walker Campbell back with you right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. And as a reminder to listen to the show on the go, just download the Yahoo Sports Radio app by searching Yahoo Sports Radio in your app store, and you can listen on any computer or smart device by going to streamysr.com. That's streamysr.com. As a reminder, normal data rates do apply. And so far on tonight's show at YSR, we have had a ton of NBA talk. We're going to shift gears. We're going to dive into some college football. And we're going to highlight one particular bowl game that we are going to be tracking very closely on New Year's Day, and that is the Fiesta Bowl with Notre Dame and Ohio State. These two teams could easily be playing, could have been playing for the college football semifinals rather than facing each other. Notre Dame 10-2, Ohio State 11-1. And tonight we have invited back a wonderful guest who knows a thing or two about Notre Dame football, Frank Pomarico, who played for the renowned coach Era Parsegian and won a national championship in 1973. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, Frank. How are you and your family?
We're great. It's football time here in So we're excited about it, and happy holidays to you as well.
Thank you so much. Well, 2015, it was quite a ride for the Fighting Irish. Break down just ultimately how the season played out. I mean, I know that when you look at even the Buckeyes and the Fighting Irish, I mean, they lost a total of three games by a total of 7 points. I know it was disappointing that you guys didn't make it to the playoffs. How would you summarize their season?
Well, we are a little bit disappointed, but on the other hand, when you look at it, going into Fiesta Bowl, playing against the last year's national champion, yeah, it's not such a bad deal. I mean, the Fiesta Bowl is a major bowl. I've been there a couple of times with Notre Dame there, and it was a load of fun. So I'm encouraged about the game, and I'm happy for the players. Now, just think, Alyssa, though, if there was 8 teams involved instead of just 4.
Yes.
You would have such a feverish pitch for this game, as well as the Rose Bowl with Iowa and Stanford. It would just keep more of the country involved in those particular games, as opposed to maybe just the Notre Dame crowd and the Ohio State crowd and the Rose Bowl crowd. But it's going to be an awesome game. I just think if you had 2 more games, it would make it that much more exciting. And I think down the road, it's probably going to happen.
Yeah, the ultimate hypothetical, talking about expanding to an 18 playoff. So you also have to wonder, too, when you look at Notre Dame, about those 2 losses, what at Clemson and at Stanford. I mean, gosh, if Notre Dame could have come away with a win against Stanford, perhaps my Sooners, they wouldn't have leapfrogged you, right?
Well, I think that if they would have beat Stanford with the kind of schedule that they had, playing teams like Texas and Georgia Tech and Clemson, just losing that game, but SC and Navy, Pittsburgh, Boston College. I mean, this is a great schedule. So I think that would have pulled enough weight, and it almost happened just 25 seconds shy,
yeah,
winning that game against Stanford, Stanford is also one of my favorite teams because I love the way they run the football. It kind of reminds me of our 1970-ish kind of football, just in-your-face kind of stuff. And,
yeah,
and I like that because offensive linemen have to be involved in the game plan quite a bit. And for me, that was always very exciting. But I think Notre Dame really is not lucky, but happy that they're where they are. And the reason why I say that is because of all the injuries they had and whoever was next in line, next man up kind of atmosphere.
Right.
They came up with Kaiser and Josh Adams playing halfback and different receivers that were coming in, at tight end especially. They had about 3 or 4 tight ends that were really pulling their weight, blocking as well as catching the ball. So for me, it was very exciting to see some of these younger guys being able to perform at a level that put them very competitive, and really only 4 points separate them from being undefeated. So overall, I think Notre Dame fans are very happy and optimistic about the years to come.
Well, you guys should be optimistic. You also have to think about just the time that the Fighting Irish will have had off. That's definitely going to help heal up these guys. And perhaps, what, will they get back some players?
Well, I don't know if the main players, Fulton, I think he had a torn up knee.
Right.
Zaire has a really ripped up, I think, a broken ankle, if I'm not mistaken. So I don't think they'll be coming back. There may be an offensive lineman, Alex Bars that may come back a little bit, but he had a pretty severe ankle, high ankle sprain. So chances are they're just going to go with the people that they have. You know, Alyssa, I don't know if I told you this story, but I had a chance to go down to Notre Dame and drop off one of my books to Coach Kelly. And he wasn't available to talk much, but I got a chance to take a tour through their new facility. And when I was in a locker room, I had a chance to meet the left guard at Notre Dame, who's a true freshman. His name is Quentin Nelson. He's 6'6", 6'5", 325 pounds.
Wow.
And he's hardly shaving. I mean, he looks like a little kid. I told him, I says, you know, I played left guard here.
Yes, at Notre Dame.
73. And I wore number 56 as well. He says, no kidding. I says, yeah. I says, I used to be 6'5", but they pounded me down to 6'1".
Oh, I love it. Hey, it is so good to hear the voice of Frank Pomerico tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. He's a national champion, of course, started at left guard for Notre Dame from 1971 to 73. He was, in fact, he was drafted by the Kansas City Chiefs in 1974. And I didn't know this, but you played for Marv Levy. I mean, where in the world would you rather be than right here, right now? That's my man, Marv Levy.
Oh, and that's exactly the name of his book, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he was on my show a few years ago.
Oh, he is a sharp man.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a graduate of Harvard.
Oh, he's incredible.
He was a very cerebral guy, very passionate about football, and a genuinely nice man. I had a great pleasure to be around Marv Levy as well as Ara Parseghian. You couldn't get much better than those two guys.
Okay, so let's transition. Let's talk about the new book that's been released, Era's Nights, talking about Ara Parseghian and the golden era of Notre Dame football. You were a part of that. And one of the things, because we've had you on the show in the past, but I wanted to highlight Chapter 11 on Becoming a Knight. What do you want the reader and our listeners across the country, what do you want them to know?
Well, one of the things we talked about in the Chapter 11 was what it was like to be a medieval knight. And they had certain qualities and certain characteristics that King Arthur wanted them to have. Because he wanted, after he was gone, he wanted these knights to go out into the world and make a difference. And similarly, Ara Parseghian kind of did the same thing. And the thing that was so special about Ara is, number one, he was very, very fair. And anytime you're fair with people, you have a tendency to be loyal to them. He was also hard. He worked us very hard, and we had a lot of pride about playing for Ara and Notre Dame. But the thing that I think that was sets him away from most coaches is that he treated us like we were part of his family. He was hard on us. He was disciplined.
Mm-hmm.
But we felt like we wanted to do everything we possibly could to please this man. So it was a great situation. And all those qualities about being a knight are in that Chapter 11, which to me is one of the best chapters in the book.
Take us into the locker room. I mean, because Ara Parseghian, he was what, the master motivator. Just what was it like listening to him on a daily basis?
Well, you know, to me, it was almost like trying to hold water in your hand. You know how you can't hold it there very long? It leaks out.
Yeah.
That's the kind of feeling we had when we were around him. You wanted to absorb as much of this man's charisma, integrity, and character that you could, and be as much like him as possible. But he was a very disciplined and prepared. So when he was in a locker room, he never gave real tremendous speeches, but there were times when he needed to. And those times were usually after we had lost a game, and he would get us so sky high that we felt like we could run through a wall. And most of the time, I think every time we had lost a game, the next week we would win one. And it was because he got us up so high. In the big games, he didn't have to get us high. What he wanted was people that were very hungry to play and to be successful. And once you identified that in a player, then it was easy for him to motivate us.
You know, it's interesting. We've talked before, but your son played at the University of Michigan. Do you ever just, you know, kind of think, gosh, wish he would have had the opportunity to have been a part of Ara Parseghian's system and to have played for him?
Well, of course, I think any time you have a guy that has that much character and charisma, you want everybody you know to be around this person. But, you know, we had a situation where Lloyd Carr was the head coach.
Oh.
It was
very,
very
incredible.
distinguished guy. Yes. You know, a lot of times when the first time we met him, mm-hmm. the times coaches will say, "Well, what do you run the 40 in? What do you bench press?" Mm-hmm. He asked my son Tom, "What book are you reading?" I thought that was really neat. Lloyd was a very cerebral guy and a very nice man, and was very concerned about the players, that they would graduate and that they would use their life to make a difference in the world. And very much like Eric Parsegian. I don't know if he's quite as charismatic, but he was a very, very nice man.
Always inspirational to talk with Frank Pomerico tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We are definitely going to have him back in 2016. We'll have him back in January. We'll do a full recap. Notre Dame, Ohio State. My final question for you is, what's going to be the keys for your Fighting Irish so that they can come away with a win?
Well, I think they're going to have to throw the ball and throw it deep. I think if they're going to try to run against a strong defense that Ohio State has, their running defense is extremely strong. Boza, McMillan at linebacker, Bond at the defensive back, they can stop the run. If you're going to beat them, I think you have to do it through the air, and I think the Irish have those tools to do it. So I'm picking the Irish in a very close game.
Okay, very good. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a wonderful holiday, Frank, to you and your wife. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alyssa.
Much more straight ahead right here in hour number two at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. We're getting ready to talk some MLB offseason news and notes with our very own, the talented Andy Pondillo.